Gun control measures are continuing to move through our state legislature. There's been a lot of changes on the national platform in terms of gun laws and gun rules and gun registrations. It was all spearheaded by the Supreme Court's abrupt decision from this past summer that reversed over a century of state law and really left our state legislatures scrambling to prevent gun violence. And our state has always had a reputation of being very tough with gun laws and things like that. But I think with some of these changes, it's really kind of maybe opened the door for some discussions about maybe even relaxing some of these laws. My guest who's joining me this morning, and I'm really honored to be joined by someone with such a really cool and unique insight and informative insight at this, is the chair of Brock Eichler's Criminal Defense and Government Investigations Practice, and also happens to be a former prosecutor with the Office of the Attorney General of the state of New Jersey. And it's great to spend a couple minutes this morning on this important topic with Riz Dolly, who is with us here today. Riz, hi, it's Burt Barron, RNJ Radio here in Northwest New Jersey. How you doing today?
Great, great. Good morning, Bert. Thanks for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's all mine to have you. And boy, as soon as you bring up the topic, Riz, of guns and gun control and gun laws, you know, everybody sort of has their own take on as to what it should be. This is the problem. This is the solution. And it seems like with the changes involving the Supreme Court's decision earlier this year, it really opened up the discussion, even for places like New Jersey that are just known for having some of the toughest gun laws in the country. What are we facing now as a result of this sudden change that came about from the Supreme Court?
Well, I think when you mentioned the words abrupt and also that New Jersey is scrambling, I think those terms are actually very appropriate to what's going on. The decision that came out in the Bruin case was really unexpected in a lot of ways. There was a general shift really across the country in terms of gun rights being relaxed, and a lot of states not only relaxed their laws, but many of them implemented things where licenses weren't even required. So there was definitely an indication that it was going to go in this direction. But what was interesting was that this particular decision relied so heavily on historical analyses, and there was a prior decision a couple of years ago which did more of a traditional analysis of whether or not states can use sort of a reasonable and fair way to accomplish a legislative end. You know, fundamentally putting the whole academic argument to the side about whether or not what the proper constitutional analysis is, I think fundamentally the legislators and the population really has to ask themselves whether or not they want more guns in the state. You pointed out that New Jersey certainly does have some of the strictest gun laws. In fact, it's also one of the safest in terms of gun violence compared to the rest of the country. In fact, a lot of the states that have these sort of restrictions in place, whether they're New York or New Jersey or California or Connecticut, they enjoy also fewer guns and fewer gun violence. So, you know, I think that New Jersey is trying to preserve that. They know that the way that their laws are currently written are going to create a problem. The Bruin case that you referred to was a New York case, but New Jersey, the Attorney General of New Jersey, in June after this decision came out, basically recognized that there has to be a change in the way that New Jersey is allowed to implement and allow people to conceal carry. But I think it's more of as you said, a larger discussion on fundamentally, are we as a state going, do we want more guns or don't we? And the law that went into place, I think, is reasonable in its prohibition of guns in bars and stadiums, casinos, daycare centers. I just don't see a real need or a good argument that guns should be allowed in those sensitive places.
Yeah, and I would have to kind of lean in your direction, Riz. I know we've talked to law enforcement people from that community since this ruling came down over the summer, and a lot of them were just kind of scrambling because it's like, well, it puts an entire new layer of rules and regulations, which, of course, you know, when it's laid out there, if you're in the law enforcement community, you enforce the laws that are in front of you. But it's like, you know, if you leave your cell phone, Riz, at one of your favorite diners here in New Jersey, it's no big deal. You get your cell phone back. What if somebody leaves a loaded handgun on a top of a table? You know, they're finishing up a pork roll and egg platter, and they leave a handgun or something. Could you imagine if that gun was used to hurt somebody? God forbid, kill somebody or used in the course of committing a crime. Could you imagine what that would result in just simply by something that maybe happens in other states all the time? But I think about scenarios like that where guns get in the hands of wrong people, and then you got real trouble.
You're absolutely right. And there are a lot of sort of unintended consequences. You're hitting on a good example there. But if the law has changed and guns are just more prevalent in New Jersey, common sense tells us that now, from a law enforcement perspective, a routine traffic stop in the back of the officer's mind is, well, there's more guns now than there were. This guy would normally the person I'm pulling over might not normally have a gun, but now he may. So it increases sort of the tension of that dynamic more than it does. And if you're allowing guns in places like casinos or stadiums or a kid's soccer game, it seems to me that that's going to have the unintended consequence of chilling the desire for people to frequent those places. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know if there's a place where there could be potentially a lot of drunk, angry people for a variety of different reasons. I'm not sure that families are going to necessarily want to take their kids there. So I think, you know, we have to be very careful about preserving the constitutional rights, which the New Jersey has an obligation to do. And it may have been that if New Jersey had, and perhaps New York, had got the jump on this prior to the Supreme Court and changed some of their requirements early on, I think they would probably have been in a better position than they are now.
Yeah, my guest this morning on the RNJ Morning Program and having a very good discussion with the chair of Brock Eichler's Criminal Defense and Government Investigations Practice and also a former prosecutor with the Office of the Attorney General of the State of New Jersey. We have Riz Dahle with us here this morning. You said the two magic words, Riz, when you said be careful, because anytime there comes up about gun ownership and gun legislation and gun laws, careful is the word you have to use, because when you look at other states around our country and the perception of guns, and, you know, some people will bring up the argument that, well, you know, it's people, it's not guns. You know, some people say I could leave a loaded gun in the middle of a table in a room with 1,000 people and the gun would just sit there and nobody would be injured or killed as a result of it. And, you know, then it's the whole, legal gun ownership versus guns that are required illegally to commit crimes. And the common bond is the gun, of course. But you have to do this in a careful and sensible way. But I kind of like your approach where, you know what, when there's fewer guns, there's fewer and less opportunities for gun violence and for crime. I kind of like your approach in that one.
Yeah, the idea of gun ownership itself is well settled. It's a constitutional right, and I think that the one benefit we have in general, whether it's state or federal law, is that when we stick to the Constitution, we do well. So I think that New Jersey and all the states have recognized that there's a right to own a firearm. Where it gets a little bit complicated is this idea of concealed carry and bringing it in public, and just using a regular historical analysis and sort of comparing which is what the Supreme Court did, comparing the landscape of, you know, the 1800s going across the Great Plains to, you know, going to a soccer game somewhere in Bergen County, New Jersey. It's not a really good analysis. I think we rely on our legislators to pass good laws. We rely on them to do the research, you know, talk to psychologists and talk to statisticians and law enforcement and patrol officers and try to come up with the best law they can. I don't think it's good to tie their hands when they say to the population, listen, I don't think we should have guns in the following places. That's why I think the law is a pretty good one as it's written. It's going to go through some changes. There'll be more litigation. Even the Supreme Court decision that came out, there'll be other Supreme Court decisions. Eventually, there'll be some balance. There'll be some modification. But I think it should be driven by what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and you had mentioned there just about the scrambling to get, you know, set up certain areas. Look at what they're going through in New York City now. When this first thing started to happen here with the changes there from the Supreme Court, it was right away. It's like, we've got to designate some spaces where guns aren't allowed. I mean, we don't want Yankee Stadium, City Field, Times Square, schools. places of worship, you know, right away we got to start putting up fences as to, you know, where guns are still not going to be allowed. And I think that's going to be a part of the discussion going forward. But I think the other component of this, Riz, and this is the one that really, to me, is the most compelling argument, is where do you draw the line between what is federally acceptable versus what is acceptable at the state or local level? I mean, you want local elected officials. You elected them for a reason. You want them to make the decisions and carry out the policies. But the letter of the law, the way it looks right now, for something like even marijuana, federally, it's still illegal. You can't conduct a cash transaction that involves the purchase of marijuana. And you can't, the money that you have, you can't put it in a bank because right. banks say, we don't want to be charged with laundering money because at the federal level, you're still committing a crime. I know gambling and sports betting has relaxed a little bit. But if you look at when it comes to marijuana, which I could go to Phillipsburg right now and buy if I wanted to with no trouble, it's still federally against the law. Where does you draw the line when it comes to gun legislation besides, you know, what the Supreme Court says and what they're saying in Trenton? The two have to there has to be a dividing line between the two. The question is, where does that line lie?
Well, it's interesting what you said about marijuana, and it does create a lot of issues because, as you said, it's still federally illegal, which makes even a lot of these dispensatories, their internal logistics problematic because you can't go to a typical bank because a bank has to adhere to federal law. With regards to the way that the gun laws are set up, except for certain federal gun restrictions in terms of background checks, in terms of certain assault weapons. The way the system is set up is that the states are allowed to, and the states are tasked with that responsibility of where and when people can carry guns. And the way the dichotomy is that the states will continue to, and the local government, the state and local government will continue to pass these laws, and then the Supreme Court will just weigh in on whether those are legal or not. And there's an important thing that came out of the Supreme Court decision. It wasn't in the majority opinion by Justice Thomas, but there was some decision that was written that basically supported what Judge Thomas was saying. They're saying that we did not by allowing this to happen, we're not saying that certain existing prohibitions can't apply. For example, people who are mentally ill, for people who are felons, or certain sensitive places. So I think New Jersey can still accomplish what it's trying to accomplish, which is essentially to minimize gun violence, by just being very prudent and careful in terms of where guns should be allowed. People should still be allowed to have guns in their homes and going back and forth to the range, and even in certain public places if the people feel that their lives are in danger. But I think that the Supreme Court decision won't prevent New Jersey from at least trying to stop those guns from being in places that I think we can all agree they should be.
I just love a good discussion, and I could do this for hours, Riz, but I want to thank you so much for joining me here at RNJ this morning. Where can someone get some more details and follow this as it makes its way through Trenton, and something maybe on your firm's website, or maybe where there's a place where people can kind of read up more about how things are progressing?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, anyone can go to our website, and we have a blog where we talk about the recent developments. That's brockeichler.com. There's also several cases that are working their way through the system, but a good place to start would be on our website, and they can certainly reach out to us and our lawyers if they have specific questions or something in connection with their own personal case that they'd like to talk about.
Okay. Riz Dali, chair of Brock Eichler's Criminal Defense and Government Investigations Practice, and also used to work with the office, former prosecutor with the Office of the Attorney General of our state. Thank you so much for the great conversation this morning, and the debate and the dialogue will continue, and as long as it stays healthy and both sides are willing to kind of bring their most compelling arguments, it's going to be interesting to see how this progresses. But thank you again for the time today.
It was my pleasure, Bert. Thank you.